It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, your host today for the program. This week on Fresh Oil, it's a special week as I'm sharing from my new book called The Grace Revolution, which is available on Amazon.com. Yesterday, we spoke from my introduction, sharing with you my personal story and how grace became so important in my life growing up in a very legalistic church. Today, I want to share from the first chapter, and it's entitled Understanding Grace, the Heart of God. One of my favorite verses is 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 15, and it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, so many times we think that means study to show God that we're approved. Study to show God that we're good enough to receive his grace. But it actually said study to show yourself approved. In other words, God already approved you. You have to study the word of God to see his grace in there, and you can see that he's already accepted you because of what Jesus did on the cross. And then he said, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, what does that mean? Well, I've shared later on in the book, we're going to talk about the fact that the Bible is a book with two religions. It has the religion of Judaism, which is a performance-based system based on the 613 laws God gave to Moses for the children of Israel. It's a system that wears you out. It's a system that was never intended to bring you righteousness, but was intended to show you your own unrighteousness. And so there's the old covenant of the law, and then there's the new covenant of grace brought about by what Jesus did on the cross and revealed by the Apostle Paul as he was sent to bring the message of grace to the Gentiles. So Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved, and then rightly divide the word of truth. What is grace and what is law? Many people today teach the law, and they're constantly teaching this system of performance-based religion, and that's never what God intended for us to have. He intended us to have relationship-based religion, one that goes through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. What if I told you that everything you thought you had to earn from God, his love, his approval, his blessings, was already given to you? What if the striving, the guilt, and the endless attempts to be good enough were never what God required in the first place? Friend, this is the heart of grace. Grace is not just a theological concept. It's not a doctrine to be studied and debated. Grace is the very essence of God's heart, the way he relates to us, and the foundation of our faith. It is unmerited favor, his limitless love, and his power at work in us to do for us what we cannot do ourselves. You see, when we fully grasp grace, it changes everything. Now, you might be asking today, Keith, what is grace? Well, grace is one of the most powerful and misunderstood gifts of God. Many people define it simply as unmerited favor, which is true, but it's only part of the picture. Grace is more than God choosing to love us despite our failures. It's his divine power working in us, enabling us to be and do that which we could never accomplish on our own. The Bible describes grace in multiple ways. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." So grace is God's kindness and his love. Paul said in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So therefore, grace is a free gift. And then thirdly, grace is a divine empowerment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, God said to Paul, "For my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So grace is both God's undeserved favor, and it's also his active power working in us. It not only saves us, but it sustains us as well. It transforms us and it empowers us to live out the life that God has called us to live. You see, so many people, when they look at Christianity, they think, I could never do that. I could never live that. Well, friend, none of us could apart from the grace of God. It's His grace that sustains us, transforms us, and empowers us. Now, let's take a look at grace in the Old Testament versus the New Testament. See, some people believe that grace is only a New Testament concept. But the truth is that God has always operated in grace. Even in the Old Testament, we see God extending His favor and His love to those who did not deserve it. Remember, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How about Abraham? He was chosen by grace and not by merit. And we see this in Genesis, the 12th chapter, when God revealed Himself to Abraham. How about David? He received grace despite his failures. And we see that in Psalm 51, as God restores David. However, in the Old Testament, grace was often given under the shadow of the law. The law demanded perfection, and failure to obey led to consequences. You see, while God's grace was always present, it was not yet fully revealed. And that all changed with Yeshua Jesus. When Christ came, He fulfilled the law, and He introduced a new covenant of grace. In John chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The greatest revelation of grace was Yeshua, God's Son, Jesus. If you want to understand grace, look at Jesus. Jesus is grace in human form. The Bible says in John 1 and verse 14, The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, everything about Jesus' life demonstrated grace. He healed the sick, even those who didn't deserve it. We see this in Luke, the 17th chapter. He forgave sinners, even those caught in the very act of sin, like the woman who was caught in adultery. He welcomed the outcast, even those society rejected, like Zacchaeus, the tax collector. But the ultimate act of grace was the cross. On the cross, Jesus took our sins, our shame, and our punishment that we deserved so that we could receive His righteousness, His freedom, and His life. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it tells us that He didn't do this because we were worthy. He did it because of grace. God made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, there are a lot of misconceptions about grace. Because grace is so radical, many people misunderstand it, and they even misuse it. Let's address a few of these common misconceptions. The first one is this. Some people think grace means I can sin without consequences. See, some people believe that grace is a license to live however they want to live. But true grace doesn't lead to rebellion. It leads to transformation. See, in Titus chapter 2, this is a very important verse, verses 11 and 12, it says this, The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Grace doesn't encourage sin. It empowers holiness. The second misconception that many people have regarding grace is this. I have to earn grace by being good. Many people struggle with the idea that they have to prove themselves to God. They see grace as something they must maintain by their good works. But friend, grace is a gift. It's not a paycheck. In Romans, the 11th chapter, in verse 6, Paul said this, "And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace." See, if we can earn grace, it wouldn't be grace at all. It would just be a paycheck. The third misconception that people often have regarding grace is that God only gives grace to certain people. See, some people feel unworthy of God's grace, believing that it's only for the righteous or those that have very strong faith. But Jesus came for the broken, the weak, and the lost. And grace, it's for everyone. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, Paul reminds us of this. He said, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Let me tell you how grace changes everything. Once we understand grace, our relationship with God changes. We no longer serve God out of fear. Boy, I was there as a child. We serve Him out of love. We no longer strive to be perfect. Now we can rest in Christ's perfection. We no longer live under guilt, but we walk in freedom. You see, grace changes how we see ourselves, how we see others, and how we see God. It's the very heartbeat of our faith. In the first chapter, I included a little prayer that we can pray to God to help us understand. It goes like this. "Father, I thank You for Your amazing grace. I confess that I often try to earn Your love, but today I receive it freely. Help me to rest in Your grace and trust in Your finished work. Teach me to walk in grace every day and let it transform my heart. In Jesus' name." Pray that prayer today. God will change you from that performance-based system of living into resting in the grace of God. You see, this is just the beginning of the grace revolution. As we go forward over the next few days, we're going to explore how grace is not only the foundation of our salvation, but friend, it's the key to living a victorious Christian life. Grace is not a doctrine. As I said at the very beginning, grace is the very heart of God. I hope you embrace the grace we're teaching this week, friend. Perhaps you come from a legalistic background like I did. Maybe you got born again, always thinking you were losing your salvation every moment you failed. Friend, Christ died on the cross for all of your sin. God placed it on Him and judged Jesus for every mistake you would ever make. And now He can see you and I holy and blameless because of grace, because of God's unmerited favor, because of God's power in you to do for you what you cannot do in yourself. Hey, I'm so glad you joined me today for our teaching on the grace revolution. Remember, you can go to Amazon.com and pick up a copy of The Grace Revolution. Just type in my name, Keith Manley, and The Grace Revolution, and you can get it on hardback, a paperback copy, or you can get an ebook for your Kindle. Remember again, it's called The Grace Revolution, and just put in my name, Keith Manley. Thanks so much for joining me today on Fresh Oil all week long. We're talking about The Grace Revolution right here on Fresh Oil.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He he makes his mercies new every morning.